Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of James, James chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me remind you that the Valentine's banquet that'll be on the 10th, we do have a sheet in the vestibule. Please be sure to sign up. We've got to know how many to prepare for, even more critical this time than before. So we need to know how many people are coming. So you need to sign up at least by the Wednesday night before, and preferably the Sunday before. But we'd love to have you join us. You'll enjoy the singing, preaching, and we'll have a great meal. But we need you to sign that list. So be sure to do that before you leave today or whenever you make a decision. James chapter number 5. James is a very practical book, and I'm grateful for the book of James. It's encouraging in many ways. It speaks all the way through about faith and prayer and many things that we can do in our life. And I'm grateful for it. But we come today to the last chapter of the book of James. I've often found out through the Word of God that oftentimes the last verses in the Bible or the last verses in a book is very much powerful words because they're closing out. They want you to please remember it. I've often heard people preach and many times they'll repeat the same thing over and over. Somebody said, why does he keep repeating it over and over? Because he wants you to remember it. And by remembering it, you hear it over and over, and it'll become a part of your listening and your capability to understand. I want you to have your Bibles, turn 5, chapter 5. I'm just going to read verse 19 and 20. We'll be looking at some others. But the Bible says in verse number 19, brethren, if any man do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sin. Father, we do thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together once again to open your word. And I do pray that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. Give us understanding. And Lord, give us the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we ask now that your will be done. Guide and direct, we pray. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. We find in the conclusion of the book, I believe, two verses that seem out of place. If you go back and look at the rest of the chapter, we're going to look at some verses in there. It seems like when he gets to verse 19 and 20, he changes gears a little bit and he reminds you, especially the Christian, of what he wants us to know. And so understanding that, we find nothing. If you go back and read many of the other books of the Bible, they close out with commendations. They close out with recognition. They close out with various things. But James doesn't do that here. He doesn't speak any niceties. He doesn't give any greetings. He literally don't even offer encouragement or prayer in the last two verses. He's come to the conclusion what he's doing is simply challenging the children of God. Now again, you may wonder what I'm saying, but I'm going to show you that in just a minute. But when we begin to read in chapter number 5, we find out exactly what James had been talking to them about and encourage him. Look at verse number 13. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So he was encouraging, had been before he got to that point, encouraging people to pray. You know, today there's nothing greater in the world to do than to pray. It's the only way to get in touch with God, and the only way for God to get in touch with us is us to pray, seek His face, and seek His will. Apart from the Word of God, I realize we can make contact with Him. But He's talking about prayer. He's talking about mutual love of the believers. You know, the Bible says that if you're saved, you'll love the brethren, right? And truly today, we ought to love one another in the way that we are and who God made us. We're all different, and I'm grateful for that, and you're probably more grateful than that. But I'm grateful today that God creates us in His own image. He goes on to say in verse number 13, I just read that, but he said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing songs. So he said, if there's any among you afflicted, if there's something wrong, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Go and pray. Seek His face. Seek His will and see what He will do in your life. Is any merry? You know, today, everybody ought to sing psalms and hymns. You say, well, I can't sing. That's all right. Sing anyway. Just do it when nobody else is around and they won't know it. But again, when you come to church, listen, I don't mind hearing an off key every now and then. It's all right. I want people to sing because they have the joy of the Lord. So here we find James is encouraging them to pray if they're afflicted. He's encouraging them if they're married to sing praises. And boy, don't we have a lot to sing about and praise God for in what he's doing. Not only that, but we find in verse number 15, he's commanded the people of God to pray, but also to restore those who have fallen. In verse number 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if any have committed sins, they shall be given. Again, thinking along the lines, he wants us to help restore those who have grown weak in the faith. I tell you today, when God saved us, he saved us for eternity, and he saved us to serve for eternity. I believe every one of us ought to be faithful to him in every area of our life, the best of our ability, as long as we live and have a breath in our body. But unfortunately, we're going to find from the text today, there's some that depart from the faith. There's some that go off a different direction. But he's telling us in this passage, we're to love them. We're to encourage them. We're to restore them. And truly today, that ought to be. We sing that song sometime around here, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. I tell you today, every one of us and every desire of every one of our hearts ought to be like Jesus. We ought to desire him in everything we do, say, and think. Look at verse number 16. James calls the people of God to confess their weaknesses one to another. In the first part, he said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible is verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he begins to give some illustrations of Elias who prayed. And then again, he talked about how the heavens opened and God gave him rain. And then we come to these verses and we say, what in the world are they doing in there? We've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about being married. But this sounds like it's serious. And I remind you today, it is serious. Everybody in the church today can find themselves. There's two classes of people in the church. He spoke of those who stray and those who stay. That's my two points for today. I'm not done. But I want to share with you today what we need to do and how we need to respond to those who stray. We'll address these people that many times leave the church and go back into the world. The greatest heartbreak of a pastor and of people in a church is to see people be faithful for years, and then all of a sudden, they get sidetracked. They get tempted by the devil, and he leads them down a path they don't need to go. And before long, they're out of church, and they're away from God. And many times, we as Christians, we sit back and say, boy, they must not have been saved, or, you know, they must be doing wrong. But again, I think what you're going to see today in the message, the warning that God gives to us, and our responsibility, not only the word to the wanderer and the one that leaves, but those of us who stay, to pray for, to reach out for those who have wandered away. We sing that song, Invitation, sometime. I wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. I'm grateful today. I sing that and I can relate to it because there was a time in my life that I had gotten so far away from God, I didn't know if I'd ever come back. But thank God in his power and strength, he allowed me to. So I want to talk to you first of all today about when people stray, or worried about what when people stray in their life. This is the first point. James opens in verse number 19. Here's our text. Notice there's an important word. What's that first word? All right, now remember that. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. I want to stop right there for just a moment. If any of you do err from the truth, every one of us is just that far away from erring from the truth. You said, preacher, not really. Yes, really. I realize today that many here are spiritual and many may be more spiritual than others. And you read your Bible and you pray. But I got news for you. The devil himself is out to destroy our lives. And by the way, while I'm here, let me just give you an extra pointer. I was watching something on the news that was on the news the other day. And they say now they've come out with a cartoon that's about the devil. And it paints him as being in a good light. And they showed some of it. And it's all that action stuff that you see in a cartoon. I mean, it's just something that'll appeal to children. And that's exactly what the world is trying to do today, is to get our children. And I tell you, you need to check it out. They say it's on Amazon Prime. But you need to check it out, and you need to be sure your children don't get a hold of it, because it depicts Satan as being, in fact, it says, no wonder he was mad. He got kicked out of heaven. It said his daughter was a goddess, and goes on to that garbage that they're feeding. But anyway, I'm just saying today, the devil is out to make us err from the truth. The word err translates to a word planet. Planet. We think of planets. We think of Mars, Venus, and all of those. But I believe it's speaking here of a heavenly wanderer. In the context, what it really means to err is to fall away or to wander away from God and the things of God. When a person wanders away from the truth, by the way, Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I like that verse, and they were singing about this morning, brother. He said, the truth will set you free. It's the only thing that will give you the peace and understanding that you need. The truth refers to the whole body of Christ. It refers to Christian teaching. It refers to morality. It refers to things in our life, the way we ought to act, the way we ought to do, the things we ought to say and the places we ought to go. It dictates to us what God expects of us in our life. Well, when a person who turns his or her back on the church, on Christian doctrine, and even the Lord himself, they've gone down a path that is very discouraging. One thing I've noticed is there's considerable agreement in this verse number 19 about who James is talking to. Well, I think it's easy to decide. He's talking about the believer that walks away from the truth. But understand what he said as we look at this. I believe he's talking about the true believer. Now, the reason I believe that is because he said very plainly, brethren. We call one another brethren because we have one thing in common. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. And so again, he's talking to true believers. You say, well, again, I don't understand the second verse. We'll get there in a minute. He not only refers to the brethren and the Christian, but he's referring to the sinner. He's talking about the false believer who leaves the church and goes into a sinful life. Maybe somebody that's come in, made a profession of faith. Believe me today, there's been plenty of professions of faith, but there's been very few, well, I won't say a few. The Bible says there are fewer that go into heaven than go into hell. But I guarantee you one thing, what we need to understand is when we get away from God and the things of God, we're referred to as a sinner. And again, he says if we err from the truth, talks about one converting. He said, let him know that he which converteth the sinner. So he's talking about the brethren and he's talking about the sinner. And the error of his way shall save his soul from death. What is being lost is being separated from God forever. It's being cast into the lake of fire. There's no chance of getting saved after you die and face death. But what he's saying is perhaps there's people in the church that profess to be saved. And again, I'm going to get into it in just a minute. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. But the word sinner reminds us of one who is preeminently sinful. They're devoted to sin and especially the wicked. Don't want to get sidetracked this morning. But it's easy sometimes to sin, would you agree? Even if you're saved. The Bible said, him doeth to do good, doeth not to him it is sin. So it's easy for us to sin, but does that sin make us not be a child of God? Absolutely not. We're saved for all eternity. But here's the difference in a person that sins and a person that sins and sins and sins and sins and keeps sinning. And then turns back to the world rather than the way of truth. It's something that is constant in their life. I tell people all the time, if you're saved, I believe you can sin. And I believe that we can get forgiveness of our sin. But what I also believe is that if you continue in your sin, you might need to check up and see if you've really been born again. Because the Bible teaches us that we as a Christian should not and would not sin. He's talking about those who are outside the kingdom of God. Can I share with you this morning? Every one of us need to understand the importance of being in the kingdom of God and not outside the kingdom of God. I tell you, I preach now literally for 40-something years. I've been in the ministry since I went to school 50 years this year, in January actually. 50 years I've been preaching the Word of God, and I tell you, the sad thing is to see people turn away from the things of God, turn away from the truth, go the way of the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man be in the world, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. As I thought about it, literally, I guess what I could be saying today is, if a person's saved and they sin, we call them backsliders. Whether it be the one that's saved or not, a backslider is talking about one that's made a false profession. He goes back into sin. It doesn't matter whether he's saved or whether he's lost. He's telling us here, if any err from the truth, that one that convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, shall hide the multitude of sins. So, if we've got a Christian that turns away from the truth, goes back to the world, we need to do everything we can in our power to restore them to the place they need to be. And if the sinner that is lost goes back into sin, maybe he was in church and he was lost. And by the way, we have no way of knowing whether he was lost or not. Although I do believe that you'll know him by the fruit of their spirit. But again, it's not up to us to judge. But it does not matter. It doesn't matter because we are left behind in the church not knowing who's saved and who's not saved. So if we see somebody err, we ought to do our part to try to restore them to the place of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their profession of faith in Jesus, but it might be false. We can examine their fruit. But again, it's not my place this morning. I would say, I don't know, but I'd venture to say that there's some people, maybe one or two, I think majority of people today are saved. I hope you are. But there could be somebody today that's just on the brink of erring from the truth. Maybe because you've never been born again. Or it may be that you've been born again, but yet the world is attracting you and drawing you away. We can have our opinions about another salvation. But friend, we ought never to judge whether a man's lost. People often say, they go out in the world and say, well, he must be lost. He's got to be lost. How do you know that? The only person that can know if they lost is the lost man and the Lord Jesus Christ. And even if he is lost, we still need to get him saved. And we need to get him back to the place that he needs to be. Second of all, it doesn't matter because the end of both kinds of these people will experience God's discipline. You don't sin against God and get by with it, even if you're a child of God, or if you're a sinner and never been saved by the grace of God. There's punishment that's going to come your way. Look at verse number 20. He said, let him know. In other words, to the Christian, I want you to know this morning that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You led anybody to the Lord lately? Have you thought about the importance of leading somebody to Christ? If you do that, you're converting a soul and turning them away from eternal death and separation from God forever. The end result is all those who wander are lost in wonder. They're going to experience the discipline of God. Here's something interesting, and I want you to, and here's something just to kind of chew on. Listen very carefully. In the the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses the church about a man in their fellowship who is having sexual relationship with his stepmother. Now, just to say that is an awful thought, and it's in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 2, by the way. But what does Paul tell them to do? Paul tells the church that they're to judge such a person guilty, and they're to put him out of the church. Now, might I add right there, I believe the Lord intends for us, before we put him out of the church, is give him the opportunity time and time again to repent and get right. But he says that put him out of the church. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, listen carefully. To deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, what does that say? I believe it tells me that man was saved. He had come to a... You said, how could he be saved and do such a horrific thing? How could David sin with Bathsheba and yet God call him a man after his own heart? I'm just telling you today, God don't want us to sin, but if we do sin, thank God there's forgiveness and there's restoration, but we need to restore people. And I believe that the Bible teaches there's times that there's people that are doing things contrary to the church, things that is not reflecting good upon the church. And there comes a time when maybe you need to ask them to step away and to get out of the church, but not before you do everything in your power to restore them. And pray for them and encourage them along the way. Paul condemns the man for the death of his sins, but he states his soul shall be saved. Believers need to understand. In 1 John 5:16, there's a sin unto death. The Bible says the sin unto death. People have oftentimes talked about it. Said, well, I believe it's the unpardonable sin or whatever it is. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one unpardonable sin there is. This is what we refer to as a sin unto death. It's the man, woman, boy, or girl who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and refuses to accept Him as their personal Savior. And friend, when you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, you will die in your sin. You will spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever and forever. A believer who strays from the path of righteousness and continues in their sin, eventually they're going to come headlong with standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of their life. If you're a child of God and you've abandoned the truth, then you're going to be chastened. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth everyone. I'm grateful in Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, listen, here's what the scripture says. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Not getting on to it, but I had a daddy that loved me a lot. He loved me so much, he chastened me a lot. I won't get into it. I've talked about it before, and y'all know what I'm talking about. He's very strict. He didn't put up with no mess. But you know what? Thank God today, I don't believe I'd be where I'm at today. And my daddy, even though he was strict, he loved me, and I knew he loved me and cared about me. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, repent. Look at Hebrews 12:6-8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. He said, preacher, what is it saying? It's saying, if you are saved and you haven't been chastened somewhere along the line, then you're not a child of God. You're simply not a child of God. Again, I know there's people who live good lives, but I can guarantee you one thing, I've been chastened by the Lord. And I tell you, I don't want to be chastened anymore. More so than I desire to, but the child of God, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit today. Understand this matter of salvation is something that's so important that we must understand and know the truth for which God has given it to us. He will call you to repentance if you're listening. Pay attention to what He said. When the invitation's given today, block everybody else out and put your mind on God. Put your mind on heaven and put your mind on examining yourselves to see if you be a child of God. And truly, there'll be evidence. In fact, I'm not proud of it, but I've been chasing so much. That's one of the assurances that God gives me that I'm going to heaven. Because I'm a child of God, and He don't allow no foolishness. He don't put up with no trash. And truly today, when He chastens us, that's another sign that we can know that we've been born again. The Lord chastens His people in many ways. Sometimes it's displeasure. Sometimes it's tragedy. But understand what He wants you to do is repent of your sin. If you do, there'll be forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unbelievers need to know that hell's real. They need to know that the only way to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to find out is for people that are saved to tell them that Jesus loves them in spite of their sin, in spite of what they've done. Somebody sees somebody go to a door. Somebody opens the door and we immediately begin to judge him. We say, man, he sure is lost just the way he looks. But I'm going to tell you something today. It's not always the way they look, but it's not my place to determine his looks. It's my place to find out if he's been saved and born again. Lost friend, I don't preach on it enough, and some preachers don't preach on it at all. But hell is real. The Bible said in Matthew 25:41, hell is a place of punishment. In Mark 9:43, Luke 16:24, hell is a place of an unquenchable fire. And I tell you, I cringe when I think about burning in a fire. And I'm glad today that that's one place that I'm not going to burn, because I have been saved by the grace of God. Hell is a place of unending thirst, Luke 24:25. Unending thirst. You ever been real thirsty? Didn't have no water nowhere? I tell you what, you'll understand this unending thirst. Hell is a place of misery and pain, Luke 16:24-25. Hell is a place of undiluted wrath in Revelation 14:10-11. And everyone who strays from the truth is either a saved person that wanders away or a lost person. And it makes no difference. All, both need to be restored back to the proper place. There's no way we can judge them. When a person meets Jesus, something happens. I said when you meet Jesus, something happens. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away. Now, I may walk down the street, or I may talk to somebody, and it might not take me long to wonder in my mind whether they're saved or lost. But it doesn't mean that I should be hesitant to ask them if they've ever been saved. Because even if they are, aren't saved, they need to be saved. So it's important that we share it. And by the way, I believe if a person is a new creature in Christ, I believe old things pass away, behold, all things come new. Again, I'm not the judge. And I don't care who it is that wanders away. The Bible's telling us to go after them, to pray for them, to encourage them, not to judge them. Although we might in our mind, sometimes I run up with some of you, and I can see Jesus all over you. I tell you, that ought to be the way it is for a child of God. It's not going to always be the way it is, because some people, perhaps maybe even as a Christian, have wandered away from the truth. The life of the believer will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. It'll be displayed in a changed life. People will recognize the things that are going on in what they see. The Bible said in 1 John 2:19, listen, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of all of us. Again today, he's saying there's some people leave, and they lost as they can be. They've been in your church for a long time. They leave, but they're still lost. And he said what they do sometime when they leave, they just prove they're not one of you. You say, well, I guess we just write them off when they leave. No, you don't get the verses. It doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter whether he's saved or lost. If a person is wandering away from the truth of the Word of God, they need to be sought after. They need to be restored. They need to be helped. When we've dealt with a person that has wandered away from the truth, we should treat them as a sinner. Because they are. Even if they're saved and they wandered from the truth, they're sinning. Him to know it to do good, do it to not, to him it is sin. So we should pray for them. We should try to reach them for the glory of God. And then James teaches us another lesson, a word about those who stay. Now, thank the Lord, I hope none of you are straying today. So I hope you're going to stay today. The ones that stay, the people in the church who do not wander back into the world, are challenged to convert the sinner. Look at verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. In other words, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die on a cross to provide salvation for all who would believe in him and trust him. If we love him like we should, we ought to love souls. We ought to love sinners. well-loved people that have wandered away from the truth of the Word of God and found themselves wrapped up in sin. And again, I say today, every one of us are about that far from being in that place of erring from the truth. You said, I've been serving the Lord for 35, 40 years. I hadn't been close to erring from the truth. I can just tell you this, it's that close because I've seen it happen time and time again, unexpectedly, with people you would never suspect. The devil gets a hold of them, but you know what? Jesus loves them. So do we, if we're a child of God. We love them in a couple of important ways. We love them by praying for them. We've got a sick list, and sometimes on the sick list, we put people on there that's wandered away from the truth. So it's a mixture. I had a man recently, a friend of mine, and I admire what he's done, and his wife died a couple of years ago, and so he has started making a list of everybody that loses a mate. And he makes contact with them, and he made him a prayer list of just mates lost, people that have lost their mate. And he has people in our church on that list. Maybe perhaps he don't even know them that well, but they're on his list. And I've talked to him recently, and he's added another. He had added a couple of ladies to his list that he had met at the cemetery. And he went back, and the lady at the cemetery asked him if he would add her niece and aunt. And he did. And he went back a month or so later, saw her again. And he says, how is Mary and Sue, or whatever their name was? And the lady was astounded. You remember their name? He said, you asked me to pray, and I've been praying. Now again, that's a wonderful thing to pray for people specifically. The Bible speaks of specific prayer. But have you ever thought about just making a list of people that you know that are wandered away, lost or saved? People that used to be in the church that are not in church. Now, I know some people leave the church and go to another church, and that's fine. But I'm talking about people that leave the church, leave the truth, and go back into the world. We're to pray for them. We're not to condemn them or judge them. Again, I'm telling you, the person that condemns the most may be the most likely to end up in the place they don't want to end up. We don't talk about them. Well, I tell you what, I love this church. I mean it with all my heart. And I, to the best of my ability, I can't even remember any gossip that I've heard. Usually, if there's gossip going on, I'll overhear it or somebody will come tell me. But I tell you what, if you ain't got something better to talk about than to talk about somebody that's failed, you don't have much to talk about. You need to understand, we need to talk about people, and we need to not talk about them in a bad way, but in a good way. Pray for them. Pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Ask Jesus to draw them to Himself so we don't know whether they're saved or lost, but leave it, the issues, in God's hand. I have no power. If I had power this morning and I knew you was here lost, I'd come get you this morning, and I would say whatever I needed to say to have power on you, to get you down this aisle to get saved. But I cannot save you. But I can pray for you, and I can witness to you, and I can try to help you. We trust God to speak about their sins. You know, a lot of people, I've seen it happen. I've gone on visitation with people. We go to a lost person's house, and they start condemning them about the way they're living. I've been to places where people's drinking beer. I've never said nothing about them drinking beer. I talked about the Lord. And yet I've been with people, and boy, they'll light into them. Man, you don't need to be drinking that stuff. You don't need to be going here. You don't need. No, what he needs is Jesus. And what he needs is somebody to love him and to show compassion upon him, to reach out to him. When somebody walks away from the church, those who love the Lord will also love the wanderer. We should go after them, talk to them, encourage them to return, not to judge or condemn, but to go to them sometimes even with the gospel, because they may be lost, and we don't know that. I have witnessed to people that claim to be saved, and they got mad at me. I don't understand that. How many people in your lifetime have ever asked you if you were lost or on your way to heaven? Probably not too many. And the truth of it is, you say, well, I'm saved. It doesn't matter. No, but it does matter that people aren't asking us. I was a student at Tennessee Temple, and I went one time witnessing, and we was out knocking on doors, and I met an individual, asked him if he knew for sure if he died today, he'd go to heaven. I have you know, I go to the First Baptist Church, and I don't know if it was First Baptist Church, and that was a bit in Chattanooga, but wherever he went, he told me. I know I'm saved. Okay. Sometimes I like to add this in. What's your pastor's name? Oh, I don't know. We change pastors here. No, the truth of it is, you may not be born again. Why would you get mad? Let me tell you something. You sit here today, if somebody walks up to you on the street or knocks on your door and asks you if you know you died today, you was going to heaven, or asks you if you was lost, you ought to say, praise God. Thank you for caring about my soul. But here today, the reason people aren't asking is because we're not caring the way we should care about those around about us. One of the hardest things in the world is to watch people leave the church. My heart's been broken through the years. I go back and I think of people that could be here. I promise you today, if we had all the people that just got out of church, back in this church, we'd had to build a building back here somewhere to seat them all, because they would not have been here. As I prepared the message, I thought about it. Somebody needs to still care for those people. And then I asked myself the question, did I respond the way I should have responded? Did I care the way I should have cared? Friend, today, I'm simply saying today, it hurts when people choose the world over Jesus. The Son of God sacrificed His life. But yet people love the world more than they love God. They love the world more than they love church. They love the world more than they do the things of God. It's difficult when we see people fall, people we love, fail to walk with God. It's sad. People have family. And we see it happen all the time. And it's easy for us. Well, their heart wasn't right anyway. No, that's why they left. Doesn't take too much smarts to understand that. If we look down on them, we often write them off as hypocrites. Had a man tell me one time, I invited him to church, and he said, man, I was at the bar last night, and he said, I'm a hypocrite. Or no, excuse me, that's not what he said. He said, if I come to church, he said, everybody there, he said, I'd come to church, I'd see all them hypocrites. He said, I was out drinking last night. I said, I don't care if you was out drinking last night or the night before and the night before. If you find a seat in our church on Sunday morning, I would welcome you and glory in the fact that you was here. Because you're not going to get no help sitting at the bar. But you sure will get help in the house of God, hearing the Word of God, and allowing God to change your life. If we're successful in reaching a wayward soul, what does he say? He said, we shall save a soul from death. We shall hide a multitude of sins. I think about it today. Delivered from spiritual death and eternal death. Hide a multitude of sins. When a person repents and comes to the Lord, they're forgiven forever. If your sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ, he said he'd never remember you against you anymore. But just because you walk away from the Lord in this church, it does not negate the responsibility to love them, to pray for them, to reach out to them, and let them know that we care and that Jesus cares. We want to see the blessing of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly, and I believe me, I'd be the first to tell you I failed. But I tell you, if we started caring about the wayward sinners, we'd see our church, I believe, fill up for the glory of God. Not because we did it, but because Jesus said that's what you need to do in order to reach others. We have a natural tendency to recoil from those who walk away. I've seen people in the church walk away, and people get mad at them. Angry. Don't even want to talk to them. But if you write with God, you'll love them when they write You'll love them when they're wrong. Because the Bible said we're to love the brethren. We tend to let go and leave them alone. Sometimes we may go after them and try to turn them back to the Lord, but sometimes we say the wrong things. If they repent and come back, the Lord is honored. If they refuse, they'll face God with their choice. Our duty is to try to reclaim them back to the love of God and the glory of God. Today, I want you to understand we should instead love them, pray for them, and anything less is a violation of our sacred duty to love the Lord thy God with all the heart and all the soul and all the might. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all of the mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I can't close without saying this. Even if somebody hadn't wondered and they're still in the church, you don't like them, you need to start liking them. You need to pray and ask God to help you, that He might guide you into the truth when you see. You remember when David sinned? Nathan the prophet confronted him. Believe me, I believe when people sin, especially if they're a member of a church and they're reflecting on the church, their sin is reflecting on the church, I believe it's the responsibility of the church to go to them and talk to them and try to get them to get back into where they need to be. But David sinned against Bathsheba, and Nathan came to him, and he looked at the king, and here's what he said, Thou art the man. That's all he said. But David was convicted, and he repented, and he repented. David said in Psalm 32, verse 1, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. David lets us know what happened to him can happen to anyone. If we'll repent and get right with God, the God we serve of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Somebody wrote this hymn in 1911. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and guilt. Yonder on Calvary Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that's greater than all my sin. And I don't care who it is that's wandered away. God's grace is sufficient to bring them back. And God's sufficient to use us if we'll allow Him to. I wonder today if you're lost. Have you thought about it? We talked about it. We talked about hell. Have you thought about it? If you're lost, you better know you're saved. If somebody's here today like that, well, what a great day it would be for you to come back into the family of God. You maybe haven't even wandered away. You may have been faithful to church and doing everything the Lord would have you to do. But the truth of it is, you're not even sure you're saved. You need to be sure. If you're out of God's will, you need to be restored. If you're burdened by somebody else that's walked away, you should bring them to the throne of grace one more time. If you haven't wandered away, watch yourself. Because it's just a choice that you make in walking away from Christ. Do you know Him today as your Savior?